Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Good morning and welcome once again to the Open Door Baptist Church. Tuesday morning, men's prayer breakfast and devotion. Today is Tuesday, August the 28th, year of our Lord, 2012. Today's devotion is going to be about one of the great men of the Bible, King Solomon. I'm going to First Kings chapter 11 is where I want to end up, but I got a little bit leading up to that. So with that, we all know and remember the story of King Solomon in Second Chronicles. The Lord asked Solomon, what can I do for you? The scripture says, ask what I shall give thee. What is it can I do for you, sir? And we all know that Solomon, he could have asked for all the worldly stuff, a new car and a boat and a new house and all the things that money could buy, but he didn't ask for that, did he? He asked for wisdom and knowledge. So that answer pleased God very well. And so God told him, said, well, wisdom and knowledge is granted to you. He said, I'll give you that, but in addition to that, I'll give you all the wealth and riches that you want anyway. Solomon wanted the wisdom and knowledge. He said his father David had died ahead of him, and Solomon was going to reign in his stead. The Bible says he's going to take his place, and he wanted the wisdom and knowledge so he could rule over or be the judge over the Israelite people there. So he gave the right answer as to what God wanted to hear. So God gave him what he wanted and a little bit more as well. So prior to this, King David, he got all his staff together, so to speak, and he told his people, his staff, that of his intentions of he wanted to build a great house or a temple for the Lord. the Bible states that it's a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And certainly for the footstool of our God as well was an official title of it, I guess. But the Lord had other plans. That was David's plan, but the Lord had other plans. The Lord said, no, not so fast there, young man. Said, I'm not going to allow you to build a house, certainly in my name, for this reason. He said, you're a man of war, and not to mention the fact that you kill people, you shed blood. So the Lord told him, said, I want your son to build the house for me. So Solomon, the scripture says that Solomon was determined to build the house for the name of the Lord, and also a house for his kingdom as well. Solomon made the statement that said that the house that I build will be great for we serve a great God. Our Lord is great. So Solomon, being the wise man that he is, he determined to take on this project that he's going to need some help. It wasn't going to be one of those do-it-yourself, do-it-this-weekend jobs, you know, like we see on TV. He's going to need some help. He's going to take a while to do this. So Solomon, he sends a text message to all his associates and tells them that he's going to need some help with this. He's going to need a good supervisor, foreman, to oversee this project. And one of his friends, the king of, I'm going to say Tyre, yes, I think it's pronounced Tyre, but I'm going to say Tyre, yes. Anyway, one of his, the matter of fact, the king of Tyre said, I got just the man for you. Said his mother was from the tribe of Dan, and his father was a man from Tyre, and his name is Uram Abi, A-B-I. And his resume states that he really knows how to work. He'll work. He's got experience. He's skillful in gold and silver and bronze, in iron and in stone, and in timber. He knows all this stuff, in purple and blue, which is the colors of royalty, as we all know, and fine linen, and in crimson, and also knows how to devise the devices. he can handle anything that comes ahead of him, so to speak. He's good in engraving as well, in any manner, as Scripture says. So he pretty much knows everything that he needs to know to get this job done. And so Solomon said, well, if he knows that, he's our boy. He's the one we're looking for. We just need a whole crew like him, obviously. I'm going to read just a little bit about the job that they had before them. In chapter 6. And it came to pass in the 408th year of the children of Israel will come to the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon reigned over Israel, in the month Ziph, Z-I-F, which is, it just says it's the second month. It don't say whether that's February or not. It just says the second month that he began to build the house of the Lord. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the current length thereof was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height was 30 cubits. That's 90 by 30 by 45 feet. And the porch there before the temple of the house, 20 cubits was the length thereof according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the height, 30 feet and 15 feet. For the house he made windows of narrow lights. And against the wall of the house he built chambers about. Again, the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle. And he made chambers around. The northernmost chamber was 5 cubits broad. The middle was 6 cubits broad. And the third was 7 cubits broad. But without, and in the wall of the house, he made narrow rest round about it, that the beams should not be fastened in the wall of the house. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. Listen to this. So that there was neither hammer nor axe or any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. They cut the stones of the house prior to the building of the house, and all to fit where they wouldn't have to use any hammers or axes to make any noise in the temple that they was building. The door for the middle chamber was on the right side of the house, so they went up winding stairs to the middle chamber, the middle into the third. So he built the house and finished it, covered the house, beams of board of cedar. So I guess it didn't have no termite problem, did it, with that cedar wood. And then he built chambers against the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timber of cedar. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, I will perform my word with thee, which I spake to David thy father. Now I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. Pardon me. When he built the walls of the house and then the boards, this is huge. Both the floor of the house, the walls of the ceiling, and he covered them inside with wood and covered the floor of the house with planks of fir. And he built 20 cubits on the side of the house, both the floors, the walls, and boards of cedar. He even built them for it within, even for the oracle, for the most holy place. The house, that is, the temple before it, was 40 cubits long, 60 feet long. And the cedar of the house within was carved with knops and open flowers. Knops is gourds. And open flowers, all was cedar. There was no stone seen. Then the oracle he prepared in the house within to sit there in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The Lord, the oracle is the inner sanctuary, the scripture says. Verse 20, the oracle in the foremost, full part, was 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits breadth, 20 cubits high thereof, and he overlaid it with pure gold, and so covered the altar which was of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold. It's going to be right shiny in there. And he made a portion by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold. The whole house he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the house. Also, the whole altar was, by the oracle, he overlaid with gold. And within the oracle, he made 2 cherubims of olive tree, each 10 cubits high. 5 cubits was one wing of the cherubim, 5 cubits on the other wing of the cherubim, for the uttermost parts of the one wing to the uttermost parts of the other. 10 cubits, that's 7 feet, 7.5 feet. The other cherubim was 10 cubits. Both the cherubims was one measure and one size. Height of one cherubim was 10 cubits, 15 feet. And so it was of the other cherubim. The cherubims were in the house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubim so that the wings of one touched one wall, wing of the other touched the other wall. And their wings touched one another in the midst. He overlaid the cherubims with gold. That's a lot of gold just covering them to him. And he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubims, palm trees, open flowers within and without. Floor of the house he overlaid with gold. Gold on the floor within and without. For the entering of the oracle, for the entrance, he made doors of olive tree. The lintel and the side posts were a fifth part of the wall. 2 doors also were of olive trees. He carved upon them carvings of cherubims, palm trees, open flowers, overlaid them with gold. Spread gold upon the cherubims and upon the palm trees. So also made he for the door of the temple post of olive tree, 1/4 part of the wall. 2 doors were fir trees. 2 leaves of the one were folding, the 2 leaves of the other were folding. He carved their own cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, covered them with gold, fitted in the carved work. And he built the inner courts with 3 rows of hewn stone and a row of cedar beams. 4th year was the foundation of the house of the Lord in the month, here again, of Ziph. 11th year in the month of Bull, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, according to the fashion of it. So he was 7 years in building it. That's going to be a huge temple, isn't it? A huge, shiny temple. All that gold in there. Amen. Okay, moving along here. So we read Solomon begins to build the house of the Lord. And he built it, Scripture says, at Mount Moriah was the place that they decided, because this was where the Lord appeared to David. So here again, the building begins, and we kind of fast forward, and the building is finished. We just read, it took 7 years to finish the building. So the building was finished. Solomon delivers a prayer dedication. You can imagine they're having a big celebration, an open house, so to speak, of this temple when it's finished. And he begins his prayer that you probably remember from reading and studying the scriptures. It says, Oh God, there is no God. Oh God, there is no God like thee. In heaven nor in the earth. When Solomon finished his prayer, there's more to it obviously than this, but that's just the way it started. So when he Scripture says when Solomon finished his prayer, the fire came down from heaven, and the glory of the Lord filled that great big house. They said that the glory of the Lord was so great, was so magnificent, that the priests, they couldn't even stand to preach in there. Not to mention the choirs and the singers, they were so overcome that they couldn't sing. And certainly the musicians, they were the same way. They couldn't play because they were all overwhelmed at the glory of the Lord. Can you imagine that? And they all bowed down to the ground, and they bowed their faces to the ground down on the pavement and worship and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good; His mercy endureth forever." Amen. So, in 2 Chronicles 7th chapter, Scripture says the Lord appeared to Solomon again for the second time. You remember, he appeared to him the first time. Gideon, he appeared to him in a dream, you know. So this was the second time, and he told him, he said, tell the Israelites that I've heard the prayers, and there's something that I must say. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. By the way, he also said, tell them people in the 21st century this too. Said, it may be too late here, but tell them. My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. Turn from thy wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I'll be listening in heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Goes on to say now, the Lord says now, my eyes shall be open and my ears shall be attentive to the prayers that are made. So, the work of Scripture says the work of Solomon, all that he prepared to do until the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, until the day it was finished. Solomon handled that, or saw to it that it got handled through this supervisor that he had, and all the men that he brought with him, and all David's men and Solomon's men too. They all worked together, and they got it. The house of the Lord, it says, was perfected. It was completed. Seems that the Queen of Sheba had heard things about this great temple. And so she wanted to see for herself what it was like, since she heard so much about the temple that was built and about Solomon that built it. So she just... Pardon me. She just got her staff, and they came from Sheba over to the great temple, and saw Solomon there, and she was also bearing gifts. She brought him gifts for the temple, and he had gifts for her as well. So I guess they kind of swapped wealth. They exchanged wealth, giving each other gifts that obviously that they already had, but they exchanged the gifts anyway. And she had heard so much about the wisdom of Solomon that obviously she had a lot of things in her heart that she wanted to ask him as well, since he was the wisest man on earth at the time. And so Solomon said, "Ask away." And so she asked him everything that she could think of, all the questions that she could think to ask him. And Solomon answered all of them. He answered everything. Scripture says he kept nothing from her. So the queen, she was just overcome with all this emotion. She was just verklempt, so to speak. She was overwhelmed. She was, as the ladies in the South say, she had a case of the vapor. She just couldn't catch a breath, because she was just so overwhelmed at the royalty and the majesty of everything that she saw at the temple. She told the queen told Solomon, said, "All that I had heard was very true, and it was more than I could ever imagine. It is just hard to believe until I got here and saw evidence of everything that I'd been hearing all this time." So scripture says that Solomon gave her everything that she had wanted, and even gave her a share of his royal bounty. The Bible says that he gave her as well. So after he gave her that, she was satisfied, and he sent her and the staff, sent them on the way back to the land of Sheba. So we remember from the go now that the Lord said to Solomon, "What can I do for you? Ask, what shall I give thee?" Solomon says, "Wisdom and knowledge, so I can be a good ruler over the Israelites." And the Lord said, he obliged him. He said, "Okay, wisdom and knowledge first and foremost, and wealth and riches will come to follow as well." 1 Kings 10. I just want to read a little bit about Solomon's wealth here. Verse 14 said, "Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold, 25 tons of gold." And I don't know what it is today, what the weight of it is today. I think it's still well enough there, but just the value of that would be pretty good to have in your checking account. Besides that, he had of the merchant men, all the traders, the merchant men, and of the traffic of the spice merchants of all the kings of Arabia and all the governors of the country. King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. The targets is them shields that they kind of have, you know, having in front of them defend themselves. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. That's 4 pounds of gold. He made 300 shields of beaten gold. Just these shields would be worth a few dollars, wouldn't it? 3 pounds of gold went to one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had six steps. Top of the throne was round behind. There were stays on either side of the place of the seat, as two armrests, obviously, and two lions stood beside the stays. 12 lions stood there on one side, and on the other side were six steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. Obviously, this is one of a kind, wasn't it? King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house, the forest of Lebanon, were of pure gold. None were of silver. Listen to this. It was nothing to count it of in the days of Solomon. Silver wasn't no value. Just the gold stuff was what they wanted. But the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in riches and for wisdom, certainly. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Not Dr. Phil, not the federal government put in his heart. Not the ladies of the View didn't put it in his heart, that God put in his heart. They brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, a rate year by year. Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots with the kings at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. Cedars made he to be as sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. Solomon had horses bought out of Egypt, linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so 600 shekels is 15 pounds, and a horse for 150 is 4 pounds. So all the kings of the Hittites, the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their men. So life was pretty good there. Obviously, for Solomon and the people of Israel, till we get to chapter 11. Chapter 11 is when another problem arises here, as we see in our scripture. It just going to talk a little bit like father, like son, so to speak. I'm going to read a little bit from Ecclesiastes. We all know Solomon wrote that book as well. From chapter 12, verse 13, 14. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God shall bring, why do we need to do this right here? So God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad, one or the other. Everybody gonna get paid that day, ain't they? 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women. And we may put the word defiantly love in there, as we're gonna see here. Strange means foreign, as we see right here, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. And the daughter of Pharaoh, that was his wife. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Oh boy, we just heard just Sunday evening, wasn't it, about being unequally yoked, wasn't it? Oh boy, and we're gonna see this ain't gonna fare too well for him here. You'll see as we go. We'll read a little bit. Deuteronomy 17:17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Moses is talking to the Israelites here. He's talking about when they get a king. He said, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Nehemiah 13:26. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him. He was the greatest, wasn't he? Who was beloved of God, and God made him king of all Israel. Nevertheless, even him, we say today he blew it, didn't he? Even him did outlandish women cause to sin. 1 Kings 3:1, Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Affinity is an alliance or agreement. And took Pharaoh's daughter to wed and brought her to the city of David. Verse 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you. Why? We might ask. Here's why. Because surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And so they did, we see. Solomon claved unto these in love. That didn't turn him at all. He hung on, so to speak. He held fast. God didn't want anybody to marry anybody that wasn't from Israel, did he? So we see here, it becomes pretty obvious that Solomon is obsessed with women, isn't he? Deuteronomy 7:3, neither shalt thou make marriages of them. Again, Moses talking to the Israelites, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give to his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. And destroy ye suddenly. I don't think nobody wants the anger of God aimed at them, does he? Oh, boy. Verse 3, the Lord's making it pretty clear here. That don't sound like there's too much room for discussion, does it? And he had 700 wives. This is Solomon, 700 wives. My goodness. Princesses, 300 concubines, and his wife turned away his heart. Probably so if they all ganged up on him at one time, but one could do that. Good as the whole crowd could. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wife turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. 1 Kings 8:61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. What he's talking here about perfect, it means in sincerity, it means single-mindedness, it means wholeheartedness in our love for God. Remember like Job was, remember the first verse or two of Job says that he was perfect and upright. He feared God and he hated and avoided and stayed away from evil. 1 Kings 9:4, and if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked in the integrity of his heart and in uprightness. This is the Lord talking to Solomon here, obviously, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, will keep my statutes and my ordinances, that I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Man, what a deal. Well, Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, the disgusting god of the Ammonites. Couldn't find out this Ashtoreth. This was the false god, obviously, of the sun, and the Milcom was the false god of the moon. So they'd worship any and all of them, and they forsook the Lord. Here again, not a good idea, is it? And served Milcom and Ashtoreth. Verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. Obviously, he disobeyed him and went not fully after the Lord, as David his father did. Solomon built a high place for Shamash, the abomination of Moab, the horrible god of Moab, in the hill there before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Amnon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, his foreign wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed to him, unto their gods. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart turned from the Lord of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. 1 Kings 3:5, and here again the both times that the Lord appeared, and Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask what I shall give thee. And the second time, this was after the temple was built, he appeared to him again, and Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not which the Lord had told him. Here again, not a good idea, is it? But if you 1 Kings 9:6, but if you shall at all turn from following me, God's making it pretty clear here, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to have to pay for disobedience. Ye are your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set for you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. I will cut off Israel of the land which I have given them. I'll give it to you, and I can take it away, Lord saying. Wherefore, the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee. I'll take it away. I'll tear it away from you. Give it to thy servant. 1 Samuel 15:28, Samuel said unto him, he's talking to Saul here, the Lord hath rent thee. Pardon me. The Lord had rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Of course, a neighbor, he is give it to the Lord God, isn't he? The one that lives forever. Verse 12, notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of thy hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all of the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Lord said unto Solomon, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So, the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. The Lord sent an enemy to Solomon here. Hadad, or as we'll probably say in the south here, Hadad, the Edomite, who was of the king's seed in Edom. Where it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the army, captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain. After he had killed every male, after he had smitten every male in Edom, for 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel, till he cut off every male in Edom, till he killed every male in Edom. 2 Samuel 8:14 says, "And he put garrisons in Edom." Garrisons is military installations or military forts or just a group of military men. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants, obviously. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and destroy him that remaineth in the city. That come from Numbers 24. Deuteronomy 20:13, when the Lord thy God has delivered it to thy hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. Verse 17, and Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him to go to Egypt. Hadad being a little child at the time when he fled. And they rose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt, and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. He gave him some food, he gave him some provisions. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh. Obviously so, listen to what he got here. So that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tophanes, the queen. And the sister of Tophanes bare him Jenuboth, his son, who Tophanes weaned in Pharaoh's house. Jenuboth was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. The kids grew up together with Pharaoh's kids. Yeah. When Hadad heard in Egypt that David had slept with his father, that David had died, and Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to my own country. Then Pharaoh said unto him, "Why? Why you going to do that? Have I not, as thou liked with me, that thou, behold, thou seekest to go to thy own countries? And have not been good to you? Have not given you everything you want to hear? Why you want to leave?" And he told him, said, "Nothing. I just want to go. So, however, let me go in any wise." And so Pharaoh said, "Okay, well, whatever you want to do there, buddy." He said, don't forget your wife and kids. They go with you now. verse 23, and God stirred up him another adversary, another enemy, Rezon, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men to him, became captain over a band, and David slew them of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt there. And Rezon was the king, and he reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon. He was Solomon's enemy. Besides the mischief that Hadad did, he abhorred Israel and reigned in Syria. He hated the Israelites, obviously, didn't he? 2 Samuel 20:21, the matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son. This is not the queen of Sheba he's talking about. This is a man named Sheba, son of Bichri, by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. Verse 27, this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo or Milo, I'm going to say Milo, and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. This Milo, this is kind of a fort around the temple that he just built here. Seemed like when it rains on it pours sometimes. Solomon's getting it from all sides, isn't it? 1 Kings 9:4, but Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David into her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then he did build Milo. Verse 28, and the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler. Seeing that he'd work, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph, of the tribe of Joseph. Proverbs 22:29 says, the man is diligent in business, he shall stand before kings. And it came to pass that when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clothed himself with a new garment. They were two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and tore it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take these 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. Back to verse 11 here. Wherefore the Lord said to Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hands of thy son. But Israel have one tribe for my servant David's sake and Jerusalem's sake, city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me. I worship Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Shamash, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, to keep my statutes and judgments, as did David, his father. Back to verse 5. Here Solomon went after Ashtoreth, remember, the goddess of Zidonians and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. One's a false goddess of the sun, the other's a false goddess of the moon. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand. But I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe. David my servant may have light all the way before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem excuse me. A lamp in Jerusalem set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. That the Lord, yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David's, his servant's sake. He promised to give him always light and unto his children. 37, and I will take, and thou shalt reign according to all that thou so desire. He's talking to Jeroboam now. Sound like he's going to get a pretty good deal too here, obviously. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth. Oh boy, and shalt be king over Israel. Pardon me. And it shall be. But listen to this. But listen, and it shall be. But if thou wilt hearken unto all thy command, then will walk in my ways, do that right in my sight, keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with thee. Build thee a sure house, as a house that will last, as I helped build for David, and will give Israel unto thee. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. I'll punish the seed of David, not forever. So Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. Jeroboam arose, fled to Egypt. He run, didn't he? He wasn't stupid. Unto Shishak, king of Egypt. And was in Egypt till the death of Solomon. Deuteronomy 31:8. Listen to this. This is a good little memory verse here. This works for me pretty good. And the Lord said, it is he that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Thank you, Jesus. That's one of my favorites. That works good for me. Joshua 1:5, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord. For thou, Lord, 2 Samuel 7:27, for thou, Lord of hosts, God of Israel, has revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore, thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. About done. 41. The rest of the Acts of Solomon and all that he did in his wisdom, were they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? That'd be 2 Chronicles, wouldn't it? The time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem is over all Israel was 40 years. Solomon slept with his fathers. He was buried in the city of David, his father. Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all nations round about. Now, all these were that I just mentioned here. I won't read them again, but they were all wise men too. But they were only inferior to in wisdom to King Solomon. They were all wise. They was probably worked right along with Solomon along the way, since they obviously thought pretty much alike. it says that he was wiser than all men. But down in Matthew 12, it says she came for the othermost. They're talking about the Queen of Sheba here. We just talked about it a little while ago. He came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here, the greater being, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, finally, in conclusion, used to be an old song that said, you don't know what you got till you lose it. That may apply here. With all the wisdom and knowledge and the wealth and splendor that King Solomon had, he was still human. He was still male. He still had the problem that a lot of males have had, their weakness as women. And usually where you have a human being involved, there's going to be an error. There's probability or possibility that it's going to happen. Humans going to make mistakes. There just ain't much way around that. And it's been going on since the beginning of time to the present of some of the greatest men in history. Their downfall has been behind the woman, isn't it? So we just seen that Solomon deliberately disobeyed God's command and lost everything. We read a lot in Ecclesiastes, everything under the sun. Remember, you see a lot of that in the whole book of Ecclesiastes. So with all his wisdom, I don't know whether he failed to remember or he knew it and then just kept on with his own will anyway. But God ain't gonna permit himself to be scorned, and he ain't gonna permit himself to be mocked in any way. Remember in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And everything comes with a price, doesn't it? The word of the Lord.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.